Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
We've talked about it before on this program, a crisis in funding for mental health providers, especially those who help people who have intellectual disabilities and autism. Well, there's new help coming. It was signed into law as part of the new state budget. And on Friday, there was an event to talk about just the scope of this help and how it will provide additional outreach and support to families all over Pennsylvania. On the line with us this morning is State Representative Dan Miller. Good morning, Representative Miller.
Good morning. Thanks for having me today.
Good morning. And we don't have video, or we're not showing video, but you've got a Pirates cap on. I hope you're going to get a chance to see a game maybe later on.
Well, it's it's been a great, the last week has not been so compelling, but it's been a great summer for Pirates baseball. I think most people know I'm actually from New York. I have a bit of a Yankee loyalty, but the Pirates with their young pitching is definitely something people should be excited about.
Well, we're not going to hold the Yankee affinity against you. It's not 1960, so let's put it that way. Also on the line with us is Nancy Miller, who is helping to care for a family member with an intellectual disability. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining me. So first of all, Representative Miller, you had an event on Friday. Tell us what the event was, who all was there, and where was it? First of all, was it the Emmaus House?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, earlier, right today, we did a press conference with Senator Acosta, Nancy, and members of her family, as well as the CEO of Emmaus, to help us illustrate some of the good things that have been done in relation to disability supports in this year's budget. And then also an idea where we need to go in the future, because we're not quite across the finish line as yet. So that was our point, just to focus on that. It was a lot of positives, still some challenges, but we want to also talk about the differences we're trying to make.
We've had some disability advocates on this program before. One of the things they've talked about is, first of all, a lack of employees to work in group homes, to work in therapeutic settings, to work as healthcare workers. Somebody told us at one point that the average pay across Pennsylvania was something like $16 an hour for people working in personal care homes, or in group homes in particular. What kind of problems was that leading to? Why did that help feed this crisis?
Well, look, it's I always say that ever since the pandemic revealed to us a crisis in care, okay? So no matter what type of care you provide, no matter what type of care, nursing homes, disability, it doesn't matter. There's a crisis. And the challenge, as you mentioned, is relation to the professionals. And in particular, almost one of the things that all care industries have in common is that they are, in essence, a private-public partnership, right? So most of this is dependent upon government setting rates that therefore private industry will work within to hopefully provide high quality, great services, but also with a degree of efficiency that some have argued more the public arena would not be able to provide on its own. Now, that's a different point to debate, but that's the reality to where we are currently. The challenge is, the pandemic revealed the issue, but the issue predates the pandemic,
mm-hmm.
right? So
yep.
We're not trying to get back to February 2020 or 2019, 2018. The promised land in these types of disability-related fields is not behind us. It's in front of us. So in order for us to do that, we have to make sure that family-sustainable wages are part of this equation. And all too often what lies in the past is largely a female-dominated care industry where we were expecting women of a variety of educational backgrounds and so forth to be okay with doing life-providing work for less than fair wages. We were championing that issue in the past. The post-COVID world has blown the lid off of that problem. And I cannot at all, I've never met a DSP provider in this field that we're talking about now, a DSP professional who said, you know, don't worry, the pay is okay. Every one of them knows that it's not okay. It's been red flagging for years. And in order for us to meet our obligations as a state, a commonwealth, and as a government, we have to do better. And that's what we tried to do with this year's budget.
We're talking about essentially Medicaid funding, right? So joint state and federal funding.
This year's budget provided $354 million plus from federal and state funding in relation to this in a broad sense, right? There's other aspects of that that also come into play. So yeah, look, it's all, there is a combination of state and federal dollars that come in. So there's no doubt about it. But when you could make $15 an hour starting wage at, you know,
fast food.
Fast food, sure.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
No, that's, hey, I've done it.
Yeah, me too. I was at Wendy's, right? So not saying that's bad work, mm-hmm. but we're saying that given the degree of the need in the what we have to be able to provide in those care industries, broadly speaking, we should not be equating the two. The responsibilities are not the same. The impact are not the same. The professional and the skill set is not the same. And so these wages, no wage in this arena should be below $20. And even that, I'm lowballing. But nothing in the care industry should be below $20 an hour.
You're listening right now to State Representative Dan Miller from Mount Lebanon. He's on the line with us right now. You can check out his website at pahouse.com/Miller if you need more information if you're in the 42nd Legislative District. And I know many of the people in the sound of my voice are. Also on the line with us, we'll be talking more with her a little bit later on in the program, is Nancy Murray. She is caring for someone with an intellectual disability. They were both, along with State Senator Jay Costa, at Emmaus House on Friday to talk about more than $354 million in federal and state funding, which is going to go to help support care for the intellectually disabled and autism community. Representative, do you know how many people in Pennsylvania take advantage of these services or who require these supportive services?
Sure. I mean, thousands upon thousands. But mm-hmm. the reality, Jay, is how many of them are still waiting?
Yeah.
So look, this is a massive need. And keep in mind, disability in itself, no matter what definition you want to provide, this is a massive amount. A million plus Pennsylvanians will qualify as with a disability in one way or another, right? So what we have, for example, is we have a waiting list when it comes to a bunch of these services. That last I check is somewhere around 13,000. Nancy knows the numbers off the top of her head without.
Did you say 13? Because one of the figures I saw was we have about 14,000 people in group homes, and there's another 13,000 on waiting lists?
On a waiting list.
Wow.
Now, and keep in mind, my friend, the waiting list is divided up into a couple of different categories, and
sure.
there's actually a difference. You have part of the waiting list that is an emergency waiting list, and a part of it that's a critical waiting list.
Yeah.
And I bring those two things up because I'm a retired volunteer firefighter here in Mount Lebanon, right? Mm-hmm. And when we use the terms emergency and critical, we basically meant the same thing. Here, they do not mean the same thing on this waiting list. It's actually, to be honest, the easiest way to say it is the only differentiation between the two is how close your family caregiver is to dying. So that's the difference between critical and emergency. And your family is hoping to make it long enough for promises to be kept. Now, and that's what we're talking about, Jay, right? Nothing we're talking about is a new program. There is no new program here.
Right.
What we're talking about is whether or not the state of Pennsylvania, Commonwealth here, will keep its word and provide for a service that thousands upon thousands of Pennsylvanians have qualified for, are waiting for. And by the way, we still, depending on how you categorize, we have some people who are getting some degree of what I'll say is partial service. They're being underserved anyhow.
Yeah.
So, but when it comes to attracting the people to do the work, so the governor, thankfully, we appreciate Governor Shapiro and Lieutenant Governor Davis kind of leading us into a better direction here. But they recognize the challenge is that you can say that you're going to pay for spots to get people off of the waiting list. But if there's no professional to help them in that service, then in reality, they're going nowhere. So you're paying for them to get off the list, but there's nobody to provide the services. And that's where we are. And so the challenge for us as policymakers, the challenge for us, Nancy, as an advocate and her family as an advocate with a strong history, and for those who just care on the moral side of what our Commonwealth should be doing. The challenge about that is that if you don't fund the system to allow people to do the work and sustain themselves with it, then there is no system. Then it doesn't work to itself. And another part of the care system collapses. And that's our challenge.
We have a 30-second break to take. I know your time is pressed today, Representative, but if you can hang on with us through the break for another 30 seconds, when we come back, I want you to break down the what the funding is going to. And I also want to ask you a little bit of the inside baseball, since you have the Pirates cap on, of how this made it into the state budget this year, okay? Also on the line with us is Nancy Murray. She's going to talk about her own personal experiences and her own advocacy as a caregiver and as a family member of someone who is living with an intellectual disability. And Nancy, I thank you for your patience and being on here right now, but I think your story is going to mean a lot to our listeners. So if you can hang with me as well.
Sure.
Broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
Our guests this morning, State Representative Dan Miller, he represents the 42nd Legislative District, and that includes my wife's old hometown of Castle Shannon, Dormont, Baldwin Township, a little bit of Upper St. Clair, and I think Mount Lebo, all in there, correct? And Nancy Murray, who is an advocate for people with intellectual disabilities and autism. When we took the break, Representative, I was asking, you know, there's this, I've been covering politics long enough to know that $354.8 million does not, that's not chicken feed. What was it that Senator Proxmire said? A billion here and a billion there, and pretty soon you're into real money. So was the governor's office and the General Assembly, how were you able to get this money into the budget? Because this has been desired for a long time by healthcare providers.
Well, look, to be honest, Nancy and people like Nancy are what have really made the key difference. So this year, people were a little concerned with where we were the previous years and what we were seeing with the system. And there was a great push by advocates and self-advocates to illustrate to the legislature, but also to the governor, who, again, I want to give a lot of props for because he's been tremendous. I've talked more disability and mental health with Governor Shapiro than, no offense, but any other governor I've worked with, he's been tremendous, right? So that outreach was key and essential. And as well as the idea that what we are seeing was part of a multi-year approach here, right? So we're not saying that the problems are solved. But we are saying is that we're on a path to a degree of sustainability that can lead us to the promised land, as we talked about beforehand. And the promised land to me is no waiting list and a system that funds itself properly and makes sure that workers can have a career. And this is what we were hearing too much about, Jay, was that people would be like, look, I love the job, but I can't. If my muffler goes on my car, I have a problem because I'm hanging on by a thin thread.
Yeah.
Because you're paying me $13.82 an hour,
right,
or $14.26.
Yeah, $16 an hour was the average for workers in group homes in Cross Pennsylvania.
But Jay, that's actually been over the last, it got better in
that's
the last.
That's better than it used to be.
Yeah. So when I first started, it was even worse. And Nance can tell you horror stories. So look, the reality was, is difference was made because advocates and self-advocates made their voices heard. And we had a governor and a lieutenant governor and a leadership. I'm the majority a whip in the House. And we do appreciate those on the other side in the Senate who got this work done. But without the self-advocates and the advocates really pushing this year, then I don't think we make as strong of a footprint forward as we have.
Let me ask a hard question to answer, and that is, you mentioned that this governor was more receptive to this discussion, and that's not to denigrate any of the past Republican or Democratic governors in Pennsylvania, but why do you think that is? Do you think there's just increased awareness of people who are neurodivergent, neurodiverse, intellectually disabled?
Look, we do a disability and mental health summit every year. It's my preeminent event. It's the thing I love to do the most. This year, the governor came himself. I've never had a governor and a lieutenant governor, but I've never had both of them, let alone one of them, come to my summit. And we did it this year. And what I saw when I listened to Josh Shapiro and I listened to Austin Davis is I find a sincere desire to help those in need. So while individually, and I'll let them tell their own stories, that there is some degree of familiarity with aspects of disability and mental health that each one of them have. And keep in mind, most families do, but there is a degree of familiarity. But what I also come across is this sincere belief that this is what government is supposed to do, right? So in addition to like paving the roads and emergency services, one of those things is making sure that we keep our promises to those whose needs are along a certain direction. And that's easy to say. I think all politicians would generally say that, but there is a difference between saying it and then coming through with action. And that's what we saw in this year's budget, was a sizable step forward. And I really, again, want to say thank you to all the legislative leaders who helped make it get it through, including the House Democratic Caucus, to which I'm proud to be the whip for, but also Governor Shapiro and Lieutenant Governor Dick.
We're supposed to say kind of non-political because we are on a couple of nonprofit radio stations here, but was there bipartisan support? Because I know nothing gets done if there's not, I mean, it passed the Senate.
No, listen, I don't want to discount this. And this is the point about disability and mental health. There is no party affiliation that attaches to it, right? So no matter what, disability and mental health impact everybody, no matter what your demographic or no matter what your affiliation would be. So look, I'll always believe, and I would love to be proven wrong, that my caucus, I do think we lead the way. I think we're proud to lead the way, and I appreciate that. But I will always, always, my disability summit is a bipartisan event. I very much appreciate those on the other side who recognize this this promise, this need, this value, and who let their votes come through in support of it.
And you have to bounce here in a minute or two, but I want to run through this real quickly. We're talking about $280 million specifically for helping to raise wages for the support professionals. You're talking $50 million for special education funding to the school districts. And I know the school districts in our broadcast area, particularly McKeesport, Woodland Hills, would be grateful for that. And you're talking another almost $75 million. You said there's 13,000 people on the wait list for care and for support who are intellectually disabled or have autism. That's another $75 million to start clearing that wait list and getting people into supportive services.
Yeah, and keep in mind that's a fraction of those who are on it, right? Yeah. So we're not getting.
So
we're
it, says,
not
it does yet. Say begin. It says begin yeah. clearing. Yeah. That doesn't say clearing.
And look, you mentioned the special education funding, which you get is a different coming. It's a different line item, but we are very glad again to doing the educational funding and that's there. We appreciate the aspect that was a bipartisan deal that brought that record amount of education funding in. Again, it was a compromise that came through, and we have to be sure special education is part of that mix. We would like to do more. We believe that there is a greater need that still needs to be addressed there, but these are sizable steps across the board that I think in the disability arena and mental health arena, which we didn't, there's another 100 million there that we talked, that some of us are talking about for school mental health. This is the efforts of, again, a lot of thanks to the governor, but a bipartisan push to really make a difference into people's lives and to start making sure that we're keeping our promises.
State Representative Dan Miller represents the 42nd Legislative District. That includes Mount Lebanon, Dormont, Castle Shannon, Baldwin Township, and part of Upper St. Clair. You can contact him through his website, pahouse.com/Miller. He was part of a press conference on Friday at the Emmaus Group Home to talk about new funding for people with intellectual disability and autism. Representative Miller, thank you so much for coming in to talk with us. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Nancy Murray, who is a family member of children, grown children with intellectual disabilities. She's going to talk about her story and why this advocacy was so important. So stay tuned for that.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families in White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company, Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 411 212-678-6191.
We're talking about $354 million, actually a little bit more than that, in new funding that is in the new state budget that is going to boost support for programs that that help adults with intellectual disabilities and autism, particularly caregivers. Salaries very low and a lot of vacancies in the caregiving professions. State lawmakers and the governor's office are hoping that this is going to help put a dent in that and especially help clear a waiting list of some 13,000 people with intellectual disabilities who are waiting for services. Nancy Murray knows how hard it is to get service. She has grown children who are living with intellectual disabilities. I'd like to bring her into the conversation. She was listening to the first half of the show. Good morning, Nancy.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
I'm good. Tell us, first of all, breaching too much confidentiality, tell us a little bit about your family situation. How did you come to become involved in working with people with intellectual disabilities?
Yeah, my husband and I now have three adult children, all of whom have Down syndrome, mm-hmm. and we became a forever family more than 40 years ago at this point. They were different stories of how they came to us. But we are just blessed that they're still a big part of our life, that's for sure. And at this point, they are all receiving residential services through the Emmaus Community of Pittsburgh. And I can say they're thriving, they're working, knock on wood, they all have their good health. And at least as of last night, they were all happy people.
I don't want to dwell on the bad old days, but there was a time when these residential settings, quote unquote, group homes, didn't exist. And the opportunity for people with intellectual disabilities and challenges to go out and work and to live semi-independently, that was not the case. They would have been kept in an institution, for instance.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, Pennsylvania still has two state institutions for people with intellectual disabilities and autism. I believe now, I don't have the number right in front of me, but I would hazard to say the number of people living in the two of them are under 500 people. And I am one of those people who would like to see both of them close, although I know that's not the topic for today. Two things that I want to add.
Yeah.
Good friend Dan Miller spoke about before, because I think it's important. Medicaid is the only funding source for services for people with intellectual disabilities. So providers of services cannot bill Medicare. They cannot bill commercial insurance. Medicaid is the only funding source that we have. That's why it is so vital. And the other thing I want to mention is, you've spoken about our waiting list. The waiting list in the Office of Developmental Programs is, first of all, it's years long. I know some people who have been on that list for 10 years, and it is the only long, sizable waiting list in Pennsylvania government. So, for example, somebody may apply for some other services, child care services, mm-hmm. or aging services, people don't wait for years for those services. So this is a critical difference. We have families, especially, now elderly families, mom and or dad who are up there in their 70s and 80s, still caring for now an adult child. So again, this is much different than somebody who may be waiting for senior services.
Yeah. Nancy, if I understand this correctly, too, there's a difference between children who have intellectual disabilities, neurodivergent, autism, and they're in the public school system versus once they exit the public school system, right? There are different certain levels of services for young people with intellectual disabilities.
Totally different services. Okay. While the person is in school, their services are primarily coming through the Department of Education.
Okay.
Now, some of those young people might also be getting some employment-related services. Mm-hmm. If the family's very fortunate, they may be getting, some in-home services. But once your child, now young person, young adult, leaves school, it's an entirely different system. And that's where most people now, you don't get services the first day after you graduate or leave school.
Yeah.
Some people still are on a waiting list. Some will be getting services, thank goodness. But, you know, at this point in the state of Pennsylvania, 5% of people with intellectual disabilities and autism live at home with their families. So, you know, we were talking about, you know, the 13,000 or so, like my children, who receive residential services, and we're very fortunate. 75% of families, however, are still caring.
Are the primary caregiver or primary?
Primary caregiver. Yeah. And I can tell you that, you know, some of those adults require 24/7 care. Mm-hmm. So mom or dad is, you know, giving up employment to stay home as a caregiver.
So it's a double whammy. It's a double financial burden of not being able to work full time and providing for the care of their loved one.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
So that's part of the waiting list story that, you know, we always need to remind people of.
How did you get involved in advocacy, and through whom were you doing the advocacy? Through Emmaus House or through other organizations?
No. I mean, once you have a child with a disability, you become an advocate.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't really know how else to say it. But you become an advocate not only for your child, but you soon join with other parents and work together, whether it's for better educational programs, more employment services. Certainly, we got, you know, every year we work with our state representatives, our state senators. You know, we meet with anybody that will meet with us, to tell you the truth. This year, we were very fortunate. I was one of the people that actually got to meet with Governor Shapiro. And, you know, we meet with the leadership in both the House and the Senate. We meet with the budget secretary. You know, we do talk shows such as this. You know, we will get together on the steps of the Capitol and do press conferences. We will do rallies there to educate all 253 members of the Pennsylvania legislature, because we need each and every one of their votes.
One of the things that Representative Miller mentioned is that this need did not start this year. This is a need that goes back many years. And the thing that occurs to me, and I know you're not a politician, and we should have asked him when he was on the call, he's the politician, but what happens to the next year's budget and the year after that? Is this a fight that you anticipate you're going to have to take back to the legislature and back to the governor's office over and over again?
Definitely. The only thing is, this year, you know, because Governor Shapiro announced a multi-year growth strategy, you know, our communications will sound a little bit different, but this is already, you know, the beginning of August. We are already gearing up. We've already asked for meetings with, you know, people in the governor's office to start talking about these issues.
And what can listeners, if they want to get involved, if this concerns them, if they have a relative or a child with an intellectual disability, what can they do to get involved?
What we always recommend, whether or not you have a family member with an intellectual disability, we need everybody talking to their state representative, their state senator, and asking that they will vote for additional funding in each and every governor's budget.
Nancy Murray is a parent of three grown children who have Down's syndrome, and she is an advocate for funding and support for people with intellectual disability and autism. Nancy, thank you so much for taking some time to talk with us this morning.
Thank you, Jay, very much.
Thank you all for listening this morning to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at TubeCityTiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.